grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
The text is Ephesians 4:32 through 5:2. I'll read it again now. Be kind and compassionate to each other, forgiving each other as God forgave you in Christ. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. This is the word of the Lord. I exercise a lot in my mind. I think about push-ups and leg lifts and then running up Marshall Hill, and it's tough and I'm working up a sweat, but it's worth it. Eye of the tiger. And then I get out of bed and shower. But here is the word part. Weird part. While I'm thinking about exercise, I'm actually feeling kind of fit. Until I see the mirror. And the mirror don't lie. In the same way Christians can hear verses 32 and 2, be kind and compassionate and forgiving, live a life of love, and think about it and think about it until we almost feel like we've done it. And then we see the mirror of the law, and that mirror don't lie neither. The parable of the sheep and the goats says that where there's real faith, there's real love, and where there's real love, there's really doing things, not thinking about them. The Holy Ghost says, beloved, love each other not in words, but in action. Because living a life of love means, verse 2, imitating God. And God doesn't just think and not do. Love means doing specific things, whether it's praying or paying bills for specific people. Which people? On Judgment Day, Jesus is going to say, whatever you did for the least of these my brothers. Who are his brothers? Well, it's those who believe in his name. Scripture says, to them he gives the right to become the children of God and therefore the brothers and sisters of Jesus. Aren't we supposed to love everybody? Well, yeah. But is that where you want to start? Step one. Love the whole world. You know? And anyway, it's way too easy to love everybody in general and nobody in particular, right? The Holy Spirit told the congregation at Ephesus, be kind and compassionate to each other, forgiving each other. He was talking to those people right there. Jesus says, love the world, but first, love each other. Which is brilliant because each other is right there week after week, year after year, good times, hard times, and always more times to love each other again here and now. That's what's real. And it's real not only because each other is right here, but also because we didn't choose each other. If somebody gives you a box of chocolates and says, take what you like, well then, like any sensible person, you take the chocolate-covered nuts and the truffles and whatever kind you love, and you pay no attention to those 15 other chocolates with the holes in the bottom because you opened them with their fingernails and you found out they were, it was like nougat in there or something. But if somebody gives you a box of chocolates and says, they're for you, all of them, well, then sooner or later you've got to get over your perfectly natural feelings about nougat. Similarly, you didn't pick the assortment in your congregation, and you don't get to love just your kind. It's love each of them, and means sooner or later you're going to get to the ones who are other. And who are those for? Jesus says, they're for you, all of them. Our Savior Lutheran Church is his select assortment. Sometimes people say, okay, I don't much love the church, but outside church, I'm a loving fool. Cheater. See, outside church, we choose who we're going to love. First, there's the people who are, you all know this, there are the people who are related to me, right? And then there are the people who are good to me, and then there are people who make me feel needed, and then there's the people who are fun for me, and for sure, there's the people who are just like me. That's my kind of people. And it is possible that I'm loving somebody beside myself, but how would I know? Whereas my brothers and sisters in Jesus, they're not related to me. Maybe they haven't been good to me yet. Maybe they don't make me feel some way I like to feel. Maybe some of them aren't fun for me, and it's a cinch that apart from them loving my Lord and Savior, who is the absolute center of my life, some of them aren't a bit like me. And if I say, but Lord, she's so nougat, Christ would say, have you got a problem with that? Hey, you know what? Skipping church isn't only blowing off Christ. It's blowing off the others he gave us to love. But it's when we love each other, and maybe for the first time we're loving somebody other than ourselves. And the Holy Spirit says that that is nothing less than imitating God, who loves people who are very, very much other than he. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Of course, you can't even think about each of them all the time, much less love all of them in action at once. I mean, and of course, we also need sleep. And of course, we can be closer to some than to others. Jesus was closer to St. John than to the others. But that's not where his love stopped. And we're called to a whole life of love. It's not dipping your toe in. It's swimming. It's not a dip in now and then. The Holy Spirit says, verse 2, live a life of love. It's not the way to heaven, but it is the only road that ends there. How can I leave my comfort zone? For that, I'm really going to need to know that I am dearly loved myself. But I am. And you, how is it that you love Jesus today? It's because he chose you from the foundation of the world, and he bought you. It's because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. So what do you do with the rest of your life? He says, love each other. But I'm here to tell you, kind, compassionate, forgiving, even a little bit the way he is, that's not me. I would have to be born all over. Well, yeah. That's why God says, live in love as, verse 1, his dearly loved children. Because that is what we are now. If you are serious about him at all, it's because you have been born again in the image of him who created you. That's why, if we're Christians and we haven't much been loving each of these who are other than we are, then we've been living a lie. I don't mean that we've been pretending to be something we're not. I mean that we've been pretending that we're not something we are, and that is the dearly loved children of God. God has poured out his kindness and his compassion like holy anointing oil on each of us to flow to the others too. And his overflowing forgiveness running down to the borders of our robes for the others too who need forgiveness. Two, thank God we got what they need. But it's so easy for God's own children to be conscious of nothing much but their own needs, the way little babies are. I realized what a baby I've been when I realized how much of my prayers would just change me. Change me. Like a baby. I need to be changed. He knows that. He'll do that. How many of us are still wrestling day after day with, am I really forgiven? Am I really taken care of? You know, there are guilty consciences that would have healed a long time ago if we just stopped poking at them and gone out to forgive somebody else. There are worries that stay raw because we keep rubbing them instead of going out and taking care of somebody else. Don't misunderstand. It's a wonderful thing to realize how small and weak I really am. It's a wonderful thing to realize how very, very, very much I need the Lord. But when am I going to realize that I have Him? It's a wonderful thing to realize that in so many ways with Him, I really am His baby. But we really can't be babies with each other. We really can't. The law says, this is my commandment. Love each other. Our comfort zone is not a safe place to stay. The law says that on Judgment Day, Jesus is going to tell millions, whatever you didn't do for the least of my brothers, depart from me. And they'll go off to eternal punishment. We need more kindness. We need more compassion. We need more forgiveness. We need them all from the Lord. And children, it's all raining down on us now. His kindness toward you and me, just as I am, His compassion for you, His forgiveness. It's a wonderful thing to find out from the law, as I've been finding out, how little real love I've showed. And it's a wonderful thing to face that sin and be appalled. But it's a lot more wonderful to realize that verse 32, God forgave you in Christ. 2,000 years ago, God forgave you in Christ. That's why there's so much forgiveness stored up and pouring out. Because the Lord has laid on Him the iniquities of us all. Has laid. Oh, perfect tense. It's done. He has laid your iniquities on Him in order to have you. Now He's got you, and He's promised, I will heal you. I say, Lord, I'll start and stop and start and stop so many times, yes. But how many times does He have to tell me before I believe that He's got me covered? On Judgment Day, all that's going to appear about His sheep is however, a cup of cold water, however we actually loved, because He's washed away everything else and washes it away every single baptized day we live. Thus says the Lord, I have erased your sins and remember them no more. Thus says the Lord, all I remember, child, all I remember is those times you were imitating me. So what do we do? I know. How about we don't take this passage home and think about it? And think about it. How about we don't do that? How about we love? Kind, compassionate, forgiving one another, till we find out that there's a reason why He loves the whole assortment. Till we find out that nougat is different. But it's all right. How about we be who we are? How about we admit that we're God's dearly loved children, all set to love each other? Except, of course, that it's not just how about. It's love each other, as He says, and I quote, little children, love each other. Amen.